This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back. Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. Presented by EMP 180 Weight Loss, Structure Accountability Results, the standard for weight loss in the area. It's EMP180weightloss.com. Three-man show today. It's Cakes, EB, and JP. Bish will be back tomorrow. I believe he has a huge softball event for either one or both of his daughters today.
Yeah, he does. I believe he's helping coaching.
I forgot about it first because, of course, it's not top of mind, but when I parked my car over at Homewood Suites, the guy who gets my car goes, "Hey, you're here before the big man," and I was already walking away.
Right.
I just kind of leave the car, and I kind of wave to him.
Yeah.
And so, you know, once he starts coming out towards the car, I just give him the old thumbs up, wave to him, say, "Have a good day." And then he goes, if you're watching NBC Sports Washington, he literally went like this. He goes, "Is the big guy coming today?" And he raised his hand as high as he could raise it.
Yeah. Right.
And then it dawned on me that the big guy.
I like that dude. I don't know his name because I'm a dog and I just never know anybody's name. But I got there before you.
Right.
And at first I pulled in right in front of the fire hydrant. But I know there have been issues because sometimes the cops are there and they
One of the cops got salty at me.
They get salty if you park in front of the fire hydrant. I get it. So I parked there at first hoping he would just walk out. He didn't after 30 seconds. So then I was like, I got to move because I know the second I get out of the car, a cop is going to roll up on me and say, "Why are you parking in front of a hydrant?" So then I see a spot where I could potentially parallel park.
Uh-oh.
So I attempted.
Did you have the ram?
No, I did not have the ram.
Because that's a big bitch.
It's a Bigums. I had the Grand Cherokee, which generally easy
SUV.
To park. Yeah. It's not tiny, not huge. Had to abort. It's too early for me to parallel park.
Right.
It's just too early for me to pull off complex of a maneuver. So I aborted after one attempt, and then I went and parked down the street.
You know what I find, personally? I think I was an okay parallel parker before the cameras. And the cameras are supposed to help you.
Yeah.
I feel like the cameras have hurt me because I just rely on it. Like, I used to have a system where I'd pull up. And I have to parallel park almost every day because I park in front of my townhouse. Mm-hmm. And so I parallel park almost every day. And when I rely on that damn camera, sometimes I misjudge it versus my old method where I would just do like I'd pull up and I would just go 1, 2, 3 and then I would turn the wheel. The backup camera can be tricky.
I've learned now that I'm a terrible Tony. I'm a terrible Parker because I just sometimes I'll pull my car and I think it's good. And then I get out and I'm all askew. I'm on the line. Yeah. I'm cockeyed. I'm like, I'm a terrible parker.
What would you do in this situation?
The worst.
So in my house, you mentioned a fire hydrant.
Yeah.
I live between my house and the guy next door to me, or the family next door to me now, there's a fire hydrant. And I don't know what the law is. I don't know what the rule is. There's no painting or anything on the curb or anything. And for the first few years, I would just park there willy-nilly. I didn't even, you know, I might be a foot away from it. I didn't even
It's a bit snug.
I don't even know.
Park a foot away.
It's literally between... It's my driveway and their driveway. And like my driveway is, say, on the right side of my house. His driveway is on the left side of their house. And so there's very little grassy area between.
Yeah.
But there's plenty of place to park a car. But that dumb fire hydrant is there.
I would say at least 5 feet away.
So the doctor, he used to be a doctor that lived there. And he said to me, he said, "Hey, you know," in a nice way, he said, "You don't park so close to the fire hydrant in case there's ever an emergency." So I'd always be paranoid, and I'd inch all the way up to my driveway as close as I could so you could still pull into the driveway. But I'm still only leaving about 4 to 5 feet.
It's probably tight. I don't know if people know the rule.
Is there a rule in like a neighborhood?
If we have some cops listening.
Yeah, I don't know.
800-636-1067.
Only my neighbor said something, and now I am conscious of it.
I would say just keep doing what you're doing.
I mean, I think you would need to leave at least 5 feet on each side because if a fire truck needs to pull into that spot— A fire truck isn't only like 10 feet long.
No, yeah, but they don't just have pull to, it. They just block the street. They do whatever. They see the access. They just see it.
They need the hose to get
there. They need to see it.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe 5 feet.
But I'm not
going to
waste that spot and not use it.
It's valuable.
How many cars
estate.
Do you have on the driveway?
I always like to. Here's the other thing I do. I do this all the time. And I know this tilts like the mailman or people that walk in the neighborhood. Because I have a nice basketball area in my driveway. I extended the driveway, much to my wife's chagrin. She started lurking all this pavement in the front yard.
Oh, I love pavement.
It's actually asphalt or whatever.
I paved
whatever
my entire front yard.
Right.
All the way up to my front door.
Oh, I made it like 8 feet wide because I wanted legit NBA 3 range. Right? So,
I have this, but you don't have a line either, right?
No, but I generally know roughly what it is. I'm not going to put NBA lines on my driveway.
But you're
in the front yard.
Yeah, this looks stupid.
You're kind of on a hill, so I've always wondered about your basketball.
It's a little bit, like, in some areas, it's a little lower or higher than others.
Yeah,
you know,
within six inches. It's not flat. Your driveway's not flat.
This is within 6 inches. This is maybe a six-inch
It's good
shop.
Enough.
It's good enough. You've been there. Believe me, I get plenty of enjoyment there. But what I will do is, if I know I'm going to, later this afternoon, I'm going to go home, take a nap, and I'm going to shoot some baskets later. I will park at the bottom of the driveway and block the sidewalk where people walk. So people, when they walk their dogs or they're with their kids on the bicycle.
So you're blocking it so the ball doesn't go out into the street?
No, because I don't want to take up the where I'm going to shoot.
Okay.
Yeah, he's working on his game.
I got to go left, got to go right.
Yeah. He needs the space.
Yeah. I need the space. I don't want the car there. I don't want the ball bouncing.
Have you ever received a complaint?
Nobody's ever complained, but people walk in my neighborhood all the time. And when I have my car parked down there like that, they have to walk around it.
You're ricking them.
I think you're fine.
Especially ricking
now,
your
fire
neighbor.
Is that even against the code? Maybe because the sidewalk is public property. I don't know where your property ends.
You know, like the sidewalk goes through my driveway.
Right.
So I park on the bottom third of the driveway with the front wheels covering the sidewalk. They have to rent. They have to walk
it's fine.
Around.
I think most people are just gonna be like, "What a jerk! Let's walk around.
This car." I think that's what they do.
Yeah, that's just what they do. That's the extent of it.
But the fire hydrant thing, I don't know the rule. I think you're probably okay.
It's tight.
You're not right on top of it. You're saying there's 4 to 5 feet,
I try to leave about 5 feet and make it as close to my driveway as I can.
I think five feet is fine. Personally, but I don't know what the law is. 800-636-1067.
Let's go to Mike Frederick. Mike, what's up?
What's up, fellas?
Hey, buddy.
Hey, in Maryland, it's 15 feet. I live in Maryland. My son's girlfriend just got a ticket for it like a month ago.
15 feet. Well, you've rendered that space unusable. It's just unacceptable.
You're just lucky they're lax about handing out tickets in your neighborhood.
My wife got a parking ticket right by where she works there's yellow on the curb, and then if it's not yellow on the curb, you can park there, right? And she parked with her wheels in the area that was fine, but the back of the car was edged over the yellow, and she got a ticket. I feel like if your wheels are in the white, let's say, but not the yellow, you should be fine.
You know, that's an aggressive parking enforcement.
Yes. She got a ticket because part of the car was creeping over the line.
I know in Pointer Ridge, where we grew up, I always would turn the corner and park against traffic.
Oh, that's definitely illegal.
I did that for 30 years.
As did we growing
up. In fact,
up.
If I go to see my mother and I don't park in the driveway, I will park against traffic.
Right, because your house from where you're coming is on the left side of the road.
Yeah, so I just turn in, park on the left side, walk right in. We did that my whole life. Yeah. We did that.
Well, what's funny is, so I live in an area, it's new urban development. Everybody drive, there are driveways, but most people, if you have two cars, only put one car in the driveway. Maybe if they have in the garage, fine. But a lot of people are doing street parking.
I know where
parking.
You live. There's very little urban about where you live.
Yeah, well, but you can walk. There's a downtown.
You know what I mean.
That's actually inaccurate. But anyway.
It's like a faux urban.
It's, right. Whatever the heck they call it.
Yeah.
Modern urban, whatever the heck they call it.
It's not very Keith.
There's a suburban lot of urban.
Parallel parking. Okay.
Right?
And
suburban
originally
urban.
When I moved in, because I do think the law is you're supposed to face that way, and my house would be on the right side of the road. And then at some point, I was the only car in my mind doing it the right way with my house on the right side and parking on the right side. Everybody else is parking
against
the
flow of traffic
because that's the way to go to the main road.
I've been in the house most of the time.
They all set their car to go out to the main road. So now both sides all shoot one way.
Let's go to John. John, what's up, buddy? You're on with the Junkies.
Good morning. Good morning. Yes, that other gentleman kind of stole my thunder a little bit. I'm from New York, and the rule was 10 feet on either side of a hydrant. But to add to it, just understand this, if there's an emergency
right.
and your car gets damaged from the firemen for having to access the right. hydrant, they're not liable for the damage.
Makes sense. I mean, that makes sense.
And if you ever have you ever seen the beginning of the movie Backdraft, they actually have to break a window and run a hose through a car to get to a hydrant. That's totally legal.
Right. Okay, yeah. I got you. Listen, I don't want to do anything that's going to impede in an emergency, of course, but let's just be reasonable here. I think 5 feet is good.
It rubs the lotion on its skin.
You're going to be so ripped someday if you actually get a ticket, even if it's a justifiable ticket, because for years you've been doing one thing.
Yeah. I mean, I've lived there 12, 13 years now.
Yeah. By the way, as we're talking about homes, there's a study that came out. We wanted to get a couple of topics here, but one was about homeowners. And homeowners, the amount of money they are spending to have the nicest house on the block. And so they did a study of 2,000 people. Seems to be a reasonable amount. Now, there are, of course, billions of people in the world, but 2,000 people. And they found that 34% of all home improvement and renovation projects are done simply to impress your neighbors.
Yeah, I believe that.
Simply to impress a friend, a family member, or neighbor. The average homeowner spends about $3,600 on home improvements and renovations, only done to keep up with the Joneses.
None of us are guilty of that.
Jason is.
Jason is definitely guilty of it because he likes to have that silly yard and the flowers.
He likes curb appeal.
He's big on that. When I used to mow my own lawn, I would kill it on purpose so I didn't have to mow it.
Right, it looked like the Open Championship.
It looked like the rough at Carnoustie.
But you ever feel pressure? I guess you don't if you've got,
it always looks good enough.
If you've got a ton of pavement and you got a lacrosse net, your droopy power
lines.
Do you
know how low maintenance pavement is?
My house currently, I mean, it has a massive driveway. Well, I consider massive for the little neighborhood. Basketball hoop. Lacrosse net and a 20x10 or much bigger than that probably bow net in the front yard.
The only thing that's missing is a dunk tank in the front yard.
He's got a Dick's Sporting Goods in his house.
It's an elephant. It's a full blown circus.
So I'm wondering. Like, we'll throw this out to our listeners. If you relate to this,
trampoline in the backyard,
636-1067. Do you relate to this? Where 1 in 4 Americans, they've apparently added or refurbished a deck. That seems to be a pretty big project, simply to impress the neighbors.
Dude, I totally need to add a refurbishment deck. I got a whole deck project.
Right.
I'm way too cheap. It's way too expensive.
Definitely into the five figures. Healthy.
Oh,
five
yeah.
Figures.
I think what I need done is probably going to be like $20,000 to $30,000 at least.
I just need a deck cleaning. My deck is so dirty because I'm in a new area with construction, and that dust just flies everywhere.
You need a power wash.
I need a power wash. And the worst thing about my house, I don't know whoever designed it. It's a Pulte home. It's fine. But the only faucet outside is in the garage. So I'd have to get a hose that's like 50 feet long.
Well, you're not going to power wash it.
You know how many 50-foot long hoses Home Depot has? About a billion.
Yeah.
You're going to hire someone to do it.
That's what I'm saying. That's what we're probably going to do. I've used my neighbor's power washer before, but it's a big pain in the ass. Yeah, I have a deck on the fourth
floor. You're going to hire A1. That should be your side business.
You can't hire him. You think he knows his way around a power washer?
You can do that. Why don't you get a side hustle?
He can use a power washer.
He can barely wash his body. Let alone your deck.
I bet you Valdez could do it. I bet you Valdez knows his way around a power wash.
Well, I can do it.
He's probably power washed his pool.
I've done it before.
Our deck, we power washed the side of the house.
Yeah.
Do you own one or you always rent one?
Power washed Manny?
We did. Actually, I think my dad just bought a new one. But, yeah, we've owned a couple.
Yeah. 100%. I would have bet all my money.
I was going to say, that was the lock of the century.
That the Myers owned a power wash.
We're going to power wash our boat. It's up on blocks.
Yeah, the boat.
The outdoor pool.
Gotta get those barnacles off, son.
Gotta clean the bottom of the pool in the off season.
Yeah. Do you power wash that? Would you power wash
what the pool?
Yeah.
The deck on the pool.
The deck on the pool.
You can't power wash the lining; it'll rip. It's not concrete on the inside, JP.
True. Yeah. Okay. Remember, it's
a very good point.
It's like a temporary thing. I mean, I don't even know what those.
So, if you want to chime in, 800-636-1067. I know that Look, my mom, she spends an incredible amount on landscaping, and there are a lot of people that spend a ton.
Yeah, but I think your mother does it because she likes it.
Oh yeah, it's not
she's
because
not
of the
keep
neighbors.
Up with the Joneses. Yeah.
No. Keep up with the Joneses. She stayed in the same house her whole life.
Right.
I mean, essentially.
Yeah.
Since she moved here. Or since I was born.
Right.
All right, when we come back, too, I also want to get into this story. It came out in the Post Monday or Tuesday. Where British economists prove it, Cakes. Sports, apparently. And I can attest to this. They destroy your happiness. We'll get into that, too. Don't go anywhere.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, we need to thank McDonald's. They actually swung by yesterday.
They did.
And a bunch of the guys enjoyed kind of like their jean jackets that they received.
Yeah, McDonald's brought, I want to say like close to a half dozen jean jackets with, you know, a bunch of different patches on them. Like on the left breast, there's a pack of fries. And there's a burger on another part of it. And then there's like a milkshake on another part of the jean jacket.
I think AWOD got a fanny pack out of it.
He got a Big Mac fanny pack. That's true.
But here's the deal. Thursday, July 19th, which is today, is Global McDelivery Day. It's an international event organized by McDonald's to celebrate serving up the food people crave and offering even more convenience through new technologies and partnerships like McDelivery via Uber Eats. People throughout the DMV love to order McDelivery through Uber Eats. If you order McDelivery on July 19th after 10:30, you receive a free, fun, and exclusive piece of the Throwback Collection with your $5 minimum order while supplies last.
Very nice.
There were Big Mac socks here. So thank you very much to McDonald's. We were talking about the keeping up with the Joneses.
The jean jackets are only for a big radio silly.
Yes.
They don't get that piece of merch from that order. By the way, a follow-up on McDonald's, and maybe Drab can help me with this. Are they offering free fries every Friday for the rest of 2018? I think I saw that on Twitter yesterday. Every Friday, you get free fries.
So
McDonald's.
If I go up there, which I'm known to do, to sometimes just order an ice cream cone.
Yeah.
They'll also throw in some fries if I ask for them.
I don't know the details. You might have to like purchase a beverage or something else, but they'll throw in some free fries.
Well, I'm ordering an ice cream cone.
The fries are so good.
But there's the two catches are you have to spend at least $1 at the store.
All right, that's an ice cream cone.
Okay.
And
easy.
Second, you need to order using the McDonald's app.
Okay, so use the app and spend a buck.
How does that work? Use the app. So you order it before you get there?
Well, you do it outside, or I'm sure you could do it from inside the store.
The development I like in some McDonald's, not all, is that they're now kind of shifting towards kiosk orders.
I don't like that. Eliminating
the human.
Honestly.
It's a little more of a pain in the butt.
Yeah, I don't like
not
it.
Really,
like
not
the,
for me, it's not.
I like the cash. It takes longer. If you go with like a family of five,
okay,
let's say,
it might take a little longer.
You go
that's
with
fine.
A family of five, then you have to punch it up. You got to decide your fries. You decide. It takes long. It was so much easier when just somebody.
I like it.
I like, you know, that shocker. He doesn't like human
involvement. I like the option. I like having the option.
I like human interaction.
Here's what I hate, and it happens rarely, but occasionally. If I'm in a hurry, and I'll stumble upon a fast food joint, specifically McDonald's, because I use McDonald's a lot, that has no drive-thru.
It's a rarity.
It's a rarity.
It's like seeing
but there
a unicorn.
Are a couple, there are a couple that I frequent.
Yeah.
And it's so tilt.
Right.
Because the last thing I want to do is get out of my car.
Yeah.
If I'm doing fast food, there's a 99% chance I'm doing drive-thru fast food. I'm not going to go inside.
The only way
down.
I'll go inside is if the drive-through line is too tilted.
Heinous.
And I realize if I go in, it's going to save me 5 to 7 minutes.
Right.
That was the most shocking thing to myself when I moved to the East Coast 10 years ago, is that they had McDonald's in strip malls, like next to a Vocelli's Pizza.
Right.
Well, that
it threw
that's,
you.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it.
No,
like, it made no sense.
No, but I'm telling you, I see there are standalone McDonald's. That they didn't design a drive-thru for whatever reason.
There's one of those in White Oak. I drive by it. I've been inside, but I drive by it and I say, no drive-thru.
There's also one in Rockville.
Yeah.
And there's one in Fairfax. Like occasionally I'll go to BMW and I have to drop off my car or something or whatever. I'm coming back and I say, it's ice for a cone. That's my snack. Silly 200 calorie snack.
To eat the bread.
You actually eat the cone? You consume the cone?
I do consume the cone. Yeah. It's too good.
Well, how can you not? By the way, speaking of snacks, we're just hooking people. The King's Hawaiian rolls that Steve Garvey brought in a few days ago. Delicious.
I crushed a few
they
of those
are
too.
Don't
think I didn't.
Delicious. Throw it in the microwave for 10 seconds. Put a little bit of butter in the middle. Delish. Yeah.
And we were talking about the Keeping Up with the Joneses, the study about neighbors basically doing home improvements because they feel the peer pressure from their neighbors. They might get a deck just to impress their neighbor.
Yeah. I think a lot of times people do it sort of out of boredom. You see other people do it. It gives you
sometimes.
A project.
Sure.
I've never felt that. I do it out of necessity. Like if I need a new roof, I get a new roof. Or if I need gutter covers, I get new gutter covers. It's not that I'm doing it to impress the neighbors or
people will do it,
live across the street.
But gutter covers aren't exactly something that your neighbors notice. That's not like an aesthetic that anybody
would
notice.
I'm saying. I do it because it's functional and it keeps your boy off of a ladder.
Right.
First and foremost, the most important, I'm not risking this precious neck on an 8-foot ladder.
Thank you very much. Let's go to Brandon, D.C. Brandon, what's up, buddy? You're on the Junks.
Hey, what's going on, gentlemen? I just recently bought a home that I haven't even moved into in San Antonio, and I've already put $20,000 into the home, and I haven't even met my neighbors yet. So I could care less about impressing my neighbors. It's more of a necessity of wants, of things that I, want for the home itself and raising the value of the
home. That's normal when you first buy a house and you want to upgrade it and have it just kind of the way you want.
And sometimes you space it out. Like when Isabella was born, we did a room, but we haven't done her bathroom yet. You save up a little money, then you do the bathroom.
Right. All right, let me hit this story real quick about sports destroying happiness. And I agree with this 1,000,000,000%.
So, unless the Caps win the Stanley Cup.
Right.
Then there's much happiness.
There is, but I don't know that it makes up for all of the sadness of all the other teams that you followed. So they got 3 million responses. This is University of Sussex, okay? Their economists, they got 3 million responses, and what they did was they sent out an app. They have, everybody's had an app. 32,000 people participated in the study. And they would periodically, throughout the day, the app would hit you up and ask you your happiness scale from 0 to 100.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, they'd find out your happiness before a game, after a game, etc. What they found was that after wins, you would be like a 3.2 above. Your score would be like a 3.2.
Right.
After losses, you'd be negative 7.9.
It's a big drop.
It would more than doubled your unhappiness or whatever.
Sure.
The other way. In other words, the losses,
you hate taking L's,
were way more brutal than the pleasure you got from wins.
Right.
And I don't think anybody can argue that.
I think you can argue it in this way. Yes, sometimes you're going to deal with more losses than wins.
And
your team
you deal
only
with
wins
more
a championship.
All the time.
You're ultimately not going to be the champion very often. Here in D.C., it's unicorn. Caps finally won it, right? But without it, without sports altogether, to me, the whole thing is enjoyment. It's a pastime. And so if you take it
music's
all away.
Enjoyable. I go listen to music, and you know what? I don't suffer any
angry?
L's.
Why do you look angry talking about
it? I'm just giving you an alternative. You know, it's not the only thing for enjoyment.
True, of course. There are alternatives in life. But to me, sports is a great outlet. And even when my team's not in it, I'll watch a Super Bowl, and I enjoy it. Now, a lot of times, I end up rooting for a team because it's just what happens, and you root for the loser. Big deal. But the whole thing is enjoyment.
Well, guys like Valdez
we've made a profession out of it. 800-636-1067. Do you agree with this? Do you think sports destroys your happiness? Because I think it completely adds to it. Like, my hobbies are sports. Now I'm kind of shifting my hobbies. My hobbies are now, I'm trying to get into the old man sports like golf.
Yeah, but it's still sports. No, I get it. Listen, our lives, obviously, we are the exception. We've made a life around it.
I don't think it's an exception. Like, take the NFL.
But your fandom, in terms of being fan, listen, I think it's great. I have all my kids. They don't even have a choice. They're all very active in sports. I think it teaches teamwork, the goal setting, achieving goal, all that stuff. Dealing with losses, all that's great. But in terms of fandom, I think it's brutal. Brutal being a fan. And when guys like Valdez say, maybe it's just sports, It's just.
That's a facade. That's
it's just a facade.
Mechanism.
It's not real.
It's just sports. Yeah, he's desperate to watch the British
it's
Open.
It's a good slug line. I like it.
I like the British Open.
Good branding.
Right. Well, it's just sports. Why don't you turn it off? No big deal. It's just sports.
No, but when he tries to write it off as it's just sports, it doesn't really affect me. It's not really true.
But this is why I don't agree with it. Like, in my urban neighborhood, Cakes, I can walk by poorhouse and the place is packed. It's people having fun watching sports.
Well, they're also having fun getting hammered.
Okay,
they go hand in hand,
but there's 100 beers, there's a ton of TVs.
The point of the study is that the losses hurt you more than the pleasure you get from the wins, and I don't think anybody can argue that.
That's why you just don't get invested.
But then you don't get that same pleasure in the wins.
Okay, well, if there's not that many wins and it's just all losses.
Right, if you could keep a nice emotional detachment, but most can't.
If your team goes undefeated every year, then of course it's fine.
Who roots for undefeated teams all
but
the
that
time?
That doesn't
happen a lot.
They say
and
fans,
JP should tell me more how I
feel,
by the way.
But think of the enjoyment Cakes gets every day. Look, he knows the Wizards aren't going to win a championship.
Right.
But they'll still watch every game on NBC Sports Washington because he gets enjoyment out of it.
I will say that some of the Caps playoff exits... soul crushers, obviously. When the Caps lost to the Penguins just last year before they won the Stanley Cup, my daughter cried for 45 minutes straight. Right. I mean, it's just soul crushing. But you know what? When they win it all, it makes it all worth it. It does. It just does.
I don't know. It's hard to say.
The glee that I've gotten from the Capitals winning the Stanley Cup has made all of the playoff exits and heartbreak worth it.
I know.
I will say what I do think is something that troubles some fans, and I'm thinking of some of our particular callers. If you want to chime in, 800-636-1067, the study found that fans overestimate the probability of their team winning.
Exactly.
So think of all the blind homers that call into this show. Every year, Rich Turpin calls in and believes the Redskins are going to be a playoff team. Every year.
Right.
And their playoff team won out of every 4 or 5 years.
You can't tell me Rich Turpin is a happy person. You can't tell me that. He's friggin' miserable. That's why I always say I try to emotionally detach myself from it because it's too grueling.
But it'd be a major void if you took it all away.
Of course. We're the exception.
And that would be less happiness. No, for just average Joe, it's not the exception because 30 million people are watching NFL games all across America. And that's not a local deal. They're watching in cities that don't even have teams.
It's like guys that smoke, though. You're slowly killing yourself.
Yeah, but
you're addicted to it.
But, JP, why can't people watch it and enjoy what's going on without being attached to it?
They can. Of course they can.
And remember, a lot
that's the healthiest way if you can do it.
A lot of those people that are watching the NFL.
You're not getting that much joy out of it either, though.
The people that are watching the NFL, a lot of them are gambling on it or they have fantasy implications or DFS sweats tied in. So a lot of people, I argue at this point, are watching the NFL as kind of a detached entity. They're not that into the teams
but most
and what's
people
going
have,
on.
Most people have a favorite team. You're a little bit.
I think it's morphing away from that. I think that fantasy and gambling is started.
It's a big part
to erode that.
But I would say most guys I know have a favorite team that they're passionate about.
Yeah, their own fantasy team.
That's not true.
Like you're passionate about the Ravens. Drabby's passionate about the Seahawks. JP's kind of an exception.
Yeah, but Valdez's
Cakes is kind of
Valdez's
exception.
Ravens love is kind of wavering over the last few years.
I'm going to be very honest with you.
But
now,
I actually think Cakes is right. Just judging from like say the 10 kids on my flag football team, a lot of them don't have favorite teams. They just follow fantasy and things like that.
Right.
What were you going to say, Valdez?
Oh, I'm going to be very honest with you. I'm kind of jaded by sports. I'm around it every single day.
Well, I think that's true.
It's a job.
I think that's true.
And, you know, for some people it's an escape, but for me it's a job. So you just get detached by it or from it.
All right, let's go.
And you get worn down.
But you get sized for golf. You get sized for Tiger Week. Those are sports.
I do, but I'm not.
I love it, but
if there's no Tiger Woods,
I'm going to tell you, I'm ultimately going to be disappointed because
if the PGA Tour, if the players went on strike,
right?
Okay,
and there was no golf for a year, like they've done in baseball, where they just cancel a season, you would be distraught. You would be more sad. You'd be missing it.
I would probably play a lot more on the weekends, but if there was no golf,
put it this way. I'm secretly desperate for Tiger to win this week. I know he's not going to win. It's unlikely. I'd be lucky if he gets one or
two
more.
You're secretly desperate for Tiger to win?
No, like, yeah. I'm desperate for him to have an amazing week,
right,
to win a major again, get F you to everybody that wrote him off. But I know it's probably not going to happen. So at the end of the weekend, you know, when Jordan Spieth or some other loser wins, it's not going to be as good. I'm going to be disappointed. I'm not going to be as excited as I could be. I know ultimately, when I watch the Nats, I know ultimately I'm going to be disappointed this year. That's how I felt with the Caps, too, but they surprised me.
If Tiger wins, you're going to watch live from with your pants down.
Yeah, 100%. Definitely is. Let's go to Sean, Columbia. Sean, what's up? Going with the Junks.
Hey, fellas. Hey, listen, Bickle, I'm with you 100%. I guarantee if you do a study for real fans that watch the game of a team, you have more domestic violence, you have more fights, you have more ugliness for about 48 hours after a game. I love freaking my team. I'm a Cowboy fan. I love them. I hate coming to work after the Redskins have beat them. Mm-hmm. It just puts more in. You guys even talked about when the Cats went on the run, buns after a victory.
Right.
I mean, it opens the fun of winning, and you get to talk smack. There's no doubt in my mind, if you're a real fan and you have a team, you're distraught when your team loses.
But being distraught kind of outweighs the happiness. The happiness is somewhat fleeting. Like when the Nats lost in 2012, that hurt hard for weeks.
Part of that is true, but
weeks.
Championships live forever.
And at least this is forever. Personal. Victory buns was more of a bit because I would say 1 for 16. They won 16 games.
Yeah, but it was a funny thing we talked about. But people participated in it all throughout. True.
Look, I would love for the Caps to win 5 more Stanley Cups before I'm put into the ground at whatever point that is. But I feel like...
You got a permanent smile on your face.
My Caps fandom has been sealed by the Stanley Cup win.
Yep.
All those years of heartbreak and anguish, it's worth it now.
Right? You know how long?
Because I can go to Fanatics and spend all my money on Caps Stanley Cup gear. All if I want.
I wonder if you're still going to feel that passionate about it in like 2 years.
Yes.
I wonder.
Hopefully there's another.
The answer is no. It's impossible.
It dies off a little bit. Trust me.
Not going to die off.
Yeah.
Cakes.
It's permanent.
It's going to be a lot harder to find the gear, too.
I waited.
Because it'll be the new gear. It'll be the new Stanley Cup Champions gear.
Well, then I'll buy more of that, too.
Right. No, but if it's the Penguins that win next year, it's going to be a little bit harder to find the 2018 Caps gear.
Well, that just means that this gear might go on sale at some point.
Trav, you waited to comment for a while. What did you wait for in life?
I used to be like Cakes. I waited my entire life for Seattle to win a championship.
Yeah.
It lasts about tops 2 years. And then you just get bitter.
That misery kicks in again.
Because your expectations rise, right? You think, maybe we're going to have a dynasty. We're going to win a few. And then you won that one, and it all falls apart. And next thing you know, you're breaking stuff in your room. Your wife is bitter. She's leaving the house. Well, I'm just saying this is the kind of stuff that happens.
Well, right? Because you guys should have won the second Super Bowl, except you decided to throw instead of hand it to Marshawn Lynch.
Have you broke stuff like after Seahawks losses?
100%.
What have you broken? Remote control?
Well, last season I was on a headset with my brothers. We were all chatting during the game. Smash it to a million pieces.
The headset.
Then went to Best Buy and bought another one for next week.
You mean like an Xbox headset?
Yeah.
Something like that?
Yeah, chat on the computer. Turn it.
All right, we'll take your calls next. Open line Thursday. The phone number is 800-636-1067. All right, so we're talking about this study. British economists say that they've determined that sports destroy happiness.
Basically, the losses outweigh the wins.
Yeah,
you're sadder after losses than you are joyful after wins.
The losses outweigh
like
the wins.
Double.
I'll say this. I watch the NBA Finals every year, and I was rooting against Michael Jordan, which is it's so frustrating because the guy just won NBA Finals 6-0, right? But the whole ride was enjoyable to me, even though there's angst. And same thing. When I was rooting against LeBron, because it's never the Wizards are never in it. I will get into it and I'll get fired up. I'll watch all these games. I watch press conferences and all that stuff. To me, the whole thing is enjoyable.
But you're more of a general sports fan than you particularly identify with any one particular team, really.
Greatest joy in life I had was when the Orioles won. I was 12 years
old. That's a team you're attached to. To me, it seems like a big giant waste of energy for you rooting against Jordan or rooting against the Warriors. Like, for me, I don't even bother. I just let those dummies go back and forth and let the Warriors
build
their dynasty. I'm not going to waste my energy rooting against them.
But I mean, this is where I can understand part of it is that my blood pressure starts boiling. When it starts going against you, because I will get in on those things. Like, I'm not as attached to like college football or college basketball. That's just not my thing. When Alabama is in the national championship, I'm rooting against them. But ultimately, I don't really care.
if Alabama wins.
So listen, you're arguing it, but they found with over 3 million responses that there's people generally have double worse enjoyment over losses than they do for wins.
I get it. They scored a loss as 7.8 points of extra sadness and a win 3.9
yes.
points happier.
Yeah.
I get that, but my point is the whole ride is enjoyable. The whole ride is, like, if you take that away, like, to me, that's happiness. That's
yeah,
something
you know
I like
maybe
to do.
Maybe we're wasting it. Maybe we should have taken up, sculpting or something, or painting, or going to music. I don't know.
Sculpting.
I mean, of course
pottery?
I couldn't do it.
Pottery. Yeah, I mean, come on.
Maybe, you know.
The truth is, to me.
Maybe we should take up hiking.
I think it's just a different way of looking at it is that, obviously, millions of people are watching these events. Maybe the All-Star Game didn't do that well this week, but it still had over 8 million viewers. So 8 million people in the United States are watching also because they like it.
Right. All right, let's go to Chris in Fredericksburg. Chris, what's up? You're on with the Jux.
Hey, what's up, Jux? Good morning.
Hey.
What's up?
Hey, I just want to say, you know, with sports, I think it just kind of fulfills a basic human need that we all have, and it's hope.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime we turn on to watch a game, we always have a hope that our team's going to win. I mean, I've been a Vikings fan, and we've never won a Super Bowl. And every season when I tune in, I have hope, you know, despite the odds against us, that our team's going to win the Super Bowl. And, you know, whether it's on the field or off the field, we always have that hope in life that kind of drives us and motivates us to wake up every morning. And, you know, if you don't have that, then it could be a pretty depressing state.
Right? No doubt. No doubt. It is a basic human need and emotion that we all have. No question about it.
Well, I know that EB is rooting against the Vikings to win the Super Bowl. He wants you to be sad because he doesn't want Kirk Cousins to win a Super Bowl. I know
I
that.
I don't really care. By the way, have you let the listeners know specifically what your bet is today and who you're rooting for and who you're rooting against?
We can let them know.
Because it's so hilarious.
I mean, Valdez came in yesterday and said, I've got a lock for the
Open. This is a sure thing. I think I might even Rob Sherritt.
For the Open Championship, we have to bet on Oliver Wilson to be better than Sam Locke.
Now give the background because nobody knows who either of these guys are.
Valdez, he can speak to it better than I can because he loves golf.
It's a full event bet.
Yes.
So it's for the entire tournament, not just today.
Right.
But so Wilson has to shoot better even if he misses the cut than Sam Locke. And
right.
Sam Locke is a 19-year-old barista that qualified for the Open.
I know you're
last
using
week.
The term barista to goof on him, but he qualified for the British Open.
I know.
And he's 19 years old.
He's a freaking
prodigy.
He's an amateur.
Yeah, but that amateur through four holes is even.
Is even
right.
Par.
And then who's the guy you bet on?
Wilson.
Oh, no, Wilson.
He yeah. is.
Was he like a club pro from out there?
No. He's a Euro Tour vet. Right. He's made his last six cuts on the Euro Tour.
Okay.
He finished four over.
Right. Four over, right.
Right. So presently, I mean, we're up against it. Now it's early. It's only four holes for Locke.
It's four holes.
Okay.
And that's through the entire.
All right, but your guy that's supposed to smoke him is four over.
Now this is going to bring
in the clubhouse.
This is going to bring
the entire tournament may only last 2 days for those guys.
What is it?
Right.
Par what? It's par what?
Par 71.
So he shot 75.
Yes.
Your guy, your horse, shot 75.
Yes.
Right. Okay.
I am not very confident.
Immediately when you said that bet, I said, I know what you're doing. You're goofing on the guy because he's a barista part-time. He's a 19-year-old prodigy that qualified for the Open. I'm not betting against that
the
kid.
The only saving grace
no chance.
Is that if I lose, and I'll be slightly salty at Valdez, but if I lose, I'm shipping him the money back through Venmo. Like, to me, Venmo
is not even real money.
Barely even exists.
Money.
It's like cryptocurrency.
Doesn't it come from your bank?
It actually comes from his World Cup winnings.
Yeah, I'm going to be digging into my World Cup winnings. They'll be paltry if I send back $400. But now I just have to root for that 19-year-old barista to quadruple bogey a hole.
All right, let's go to Jason. So, listeners out there, just keep an eye on that. What's the name of the barista's name again?
His name is Sam Locke.
Sam Locke.
Like, he's a lock to make the cut, and Oliver Wilson's going to go home, and we're going to be out a bunch of money.
He's four holes
I'm
in.
Secretly rooting for Sam Locke.
I know you are.
I really, truly am.
It's not secret when you say it in front of thousands
like
of whispers.
Like, you're secretly rooting for Tiger to win the Open.
Let's go to Jason Fairfax. Jason.
Hey, Jones. I'm keeping an eye on Sam Locke now.
Please do.
But anyway,
root against him, that little jerk.
It's a sure thing.
Well, he'll have fun rooting against him, which is my premise.
Yeah, it's going to hurt a lot more when he loses, though. Go ahead.
All right, so I think this study kind of it displays two things about fans. I think the first thing is that people internalize their favorite team. Like, when their team wins, it kind of says something about them, that they're better than the fans of the other team. So, like, if you somehow beat somebody that you perceive as better than you, that gives you, like, a greater sense of pride. Like, I'm a Giants fan, and I still talk about beating the undefeated Patriots.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing, too, is I think people go into a game expecting to win, kind of like they go into life expecting to be, you know, rich
right.
or be better than another person.
Right.
So
and they
the
touch
best
on
feeling
that.
You get We're... from a win.
Go ahead.
Right. But the best feeling you can get from a win is validation. Whereas the worst feeling you get from a loss is like kind of an internal shock to your emotions that, oh my goodness, maybe I'm not better. Maybe I am a 2-14 team. Maybe I'm, you know, and it kind of gives you a little bit of more depressing feeling.
I think you're making
the
it far too complicated.
The win gives you swagger. No, you know what?
Thank you, buddy.
No longer do Caps fans, myself included, ever have to take S from Pens fans for not having won a cup.
Right.
Those days are done. And look, I understand the Pens have won many more cups than the Caps. I get it. That's fine. But we're finally in the neighborhood.
Just
no longer have to take crap
at its
Pens
core,
fans.
It brings you true exhilaration, joy, happiness. That's what it brings.
Yes.
Right, but that's fleeting. He's 48 years old. It's
47.
Hey. 47. It's basically the first time he's felt it.
Yes.
The total 100% pure exhilaration.
So
sure.
You're going to tell me that that outweighs
for his
the
personal
47
team.
Previous years
it
of misery?
It might be different levels,
There's
but I'm
no
sure.
Way.
But I'm sure he's rooted for other teams that have won championships along the way. That's human nature.
Not really.
We watch a Super Bowl.
Nothing I can think of.
When you watch a Super Bowl, you generally pick a side.
Yeah, but you're not emotionally attached that much.
No, you pick your square.
Maybe for a few seconds.
All right, phone number is 800-636-1067. You want to chime in on an Open Line Thursday.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.